In association with For Whom the Cowbell Tolls.com, Mississippi State's SB Nation site, this is For Whom the Podcast Tolls. And now, Daniel Black and Ethan Lee.
Hey there, folks, and welcome to another episode of For Whom the Podcast Tolls here on June 9th, 2016. This is the official podcast of For Whom the Cowbell Tolls.com, Mississippi State's SB Nation site. I'm Daniel Black, a writer for Whom the Cowbell Tolls, and not joining me is manager Ethan Lee. It's Justin Strawn, the co-manager of our, I don't know how to describe, our rival sister site, I guess, maroonandwhitenation.com. Hello, Justin.
Hey, Daniel, how are you? Last time I was on here, we described it as brothers in arms.
Yes, that's perfect. That's perfect. Brothers in arms. Yes, perfect. For Whom the Cowbell Tolls and maroonandwhitenation.com. If you're interested in their stuff, you go to www.maroonandwhitenation.com. That's how you find their stuff.
Yeah, both of our sites are pretty long on the URL addresses.
I think that SB Nation and on your and fan-sided on your part should maybe like put like an at. You could also access it through an acronym.
Yeah, it should. They should.
Like us, we would be FWTCT, and you would be, I guess, MWN or Myrna Y. MWN sounds like a wrestling group.
Well, yeah, it kind of does. We don't want that. Yeah. I know there's a large probably percentage of the listenership that would probably enjoy that, but
yeah, because
it's not my thing.
Well, you need to make it your thing.
No, that's maybe I do.
you're working on it. On today's show, it's time for the super regional. It is super duper pooper scooper. I was trying to find another rhyme there. But
there's not a whole lot that rounds with super and duper.
Yeah, but it's a super regional. The second super regional, Mississippi State will be hosting the sixth super regional in program history. We are going to be playing a familiar foe for the last 2 years, the Arizona Wildcats, who took two games on Monday over our friends over at UL Lafayette, Matt Stevens' friends in Lafayette. I had to go there. I mean, come on. Yeah, we can't get revenge on them, but hey, I guess Arizona did that for us. Now we just need to beat Arizona.
Right. Now we just need to beat our former athletic director.
Yes, the fighting Greg Burns, the man whom some state fans, there are still like two state fans who want John Cohen fired, thus meaning they hate Greg Byrne. Obviously.
Obviously.
Yeah. But yeah, we're Strickland. It's gonna be. I mean, if for some reason I know the weather weather doesn't look like it, but if for some reason God isn't on our side and decides to rain out the super regional, we just need to get like a wrestling match between Greg Byrne and Scott Strickland, and the winner of that they'll advance to Omaha.
Well, it looks like that's not gonna be a problem. It looks like it's just gonna be hot, hot, hot.
Yeah, it's gonna be like the other super regional he hosted.
Yes.
But yeah, we'll be playing Friday through Sunday, which is kind of a surprise because of Arizona's schedule, but we'll get into that. And we have some questions, so that's exciting. Let's go ahead and get into the Super Regional. Once again, it is a Friday through Sunday. Sunday, if there is a barring weather or a possible Game 3. At 5 p.m. on either ESPN2 or ESPNU, so you can actually watch it on your television.
That makes me so happy. You have no idea how happy that makes me.
I'm sure. I mean, do you have bad internet in your household?
No, I just I only have one TV. With the Google Chrome, I only have one TV that I can put it on because I only have one TV that's actually a relatively new contraption. Mm-hmm. But that means I got to take up the living room TV. That makes my kids don't want to watch it. My wife didn't watch it, so I end up just watching it on my tablet, and yeah. It's like a whole badger behind Twitter. So. I'm just glad to have it on regular TV.
I agree. I think that's fantastic. Television is fantastic.
I won't disagree with that.
Yes. But yeah, once again, I mentioned this earlier, but I guess we can expound upon a little bit. I can't be the only one surprised that they chose this series to be Friday through Sunday, knowing that Arizona played two games on Monday. But you know what? It's good for us.
Yeah, it is. And I mean, there were so many other regionals that were impacted by weather. I mean, I don't know that how much that had to do with it, because I don't remember which ones were and which ones weren't. But that's just – I wasn't horribly surprised by it, just because of the fact that I think they had a certain ones they wanted to play at a certain time. I mean, it's all about setting up for TV nowadays. It's not about, you know, whose team does it help the most, whose team does it hurt the most. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's about what games will go well in certain time slots and how they'll do best on TV. That's what it's all about nowadays. So I really think that had more to do with it than anything else.
Yeah. I believe the regionals that were affected by weather, I know obviously Lafayette was, LSU was, South Carolina was, and NC State was for an inning.
Oh, was it?
Yeah, because that it was a hilarious situation. This is completely off topic, but I think it's kind of interesting. The NC State regional, they were playing Coastal Carolina. Coastal Carolina is now going to be playing LSU in Baton Rouge. They were the sixth non-host to make it to the Supers. But that was a regional where Coastal Carolina had the bases loaded with one out and the top of the ninth down a run, and they moved it to the next day.
Oh, gosh. Yeah, I didn't hear about that.
And then Coastal Carolina put on four runs the next day.
That's just a terrible way to lose.
I know. I mean, imagine the NC State fans that were there on Sunday, up a run, and then they had to go back the next day, and then they
what makes it even worse? I mean, you're because you know you've got the bases loaded. They've got the bases loaded with one out. You know that the chance of keeping that lead isn't going to be good. And then you got to go home and wait a whole day and just live with that anxiety. That's just horrible.
Yeah. So another regional heartbreak for NC State and disappointment for Rafael Palmeiro's son, who's on the team, Preston Palmeiro, second team.
Oh, really?
Yeah, second team All ACC.
Oh, I didn't know that.
And there is a guy on the For Whom the Cowbell Tolls commenters who, I'm not going to say his name, but people who read For Whom the Cowbell Tolls comments, which is a mistake. they know this person who still wants John Cohen fired, who is using our not getting Preston Palmeiro as a knock against John Cohen.
I know who you're talking about. I don't know. I mean, the people who are still calling, and he's still in the minority now, but still, they'll never be happy unless. The only way he's going to be satisfied is if we win the national championship. He probably still won't be satisfied then. I probably still won't go.
We could win the national championship and he'd still want Cohen fired because we didn't beat them by enough.
Yeah.
It was 2-0. Should have been 4-0.
That's not a way to live a life, to be that caught up on. I don't know. I'm just going to leave that alone. But yeah, that's just not a way to live a life.
Yeah. But let's go ahead and get into the Arizona team. They are the Wildcats.
Yes, they are.
That's fact number one. Fact number two, they are a program that has won four national titles, the most recent of which was just 4 years ago in 2012. This is a program that's been to 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16 appearances to the College World Series and has won six conference titles. This is a program that is without a doubt probably in the top 7 or 8 in terms of just overall programs in the history of college baseball.
Yeah, that's pretty interesting. You know, when you tell people that, they probably come across as surprised, but I think it just has more to do with the fact that we just don't talk about college baseball as much as we do everything else. Mm-hmm. I mean, I'll be honest with you, I knew Arkansas had like a really good program, but I didn't realize when I did a little looking into their history when we're getting ready to play them, that I think they're just one College World Series short of what State has done. So, I mean, there's a lot of college baseball stuff that people probably just aren't aware of just because it doesn't get the coverage. It's getting better, but Arizona is a historically great team. They haven't been as good since that last College World Series title.
This was the first NCAA tournament they made since that last College World Series title.
So they're having to rebound a little bit. It's taken them probably longer than most I would imagine that most Arizona fans would like, but they're probably hoping that this is the sign that they're back on the right track.
Yeah. They're with first-year head coach Jay Johnson. It's a pretty common name there, Jay Johnson. It's catchy to say, though, Jay Johnson. JJ. Yeah, he's in his first year, replaced Andy Lopez, who is, I believe this is factually correct, he is one of two head coaches in college baseball history to make it to send three different programs to the College World Series. Can you name the other?
Say that one more time.
I believe this is correct. He is one of two coaches in the history of college baseball to send three different programs to the College World Series. Can you name the other?
I mean, I don't think it was Polk. Polk's only done two.
Or has he?
Did he take somebody else to the College World Series for state?
Yeah, he took Georgia Southern.
Oh, that's right. I forgot about that. You're so correct.
He and Ron Polk are the two, I believe. There may be someone else that I don't know of, but okay. I believe that's the two.
Yeah, I forgot he took Georgia Southern there as well.
Yeah, that was the stop before state. Oh, stop before state. That was a bit of a fun stuff. Anyways, so obviously they're a very high profile program. We just happened to play a high profile program this past weekend. That's in the West Coast.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe we're a little bit familiar with that. We obviously played Arizona last year and the year before. Played them last year in Duty Noble. Played them 2 years ago over in Tucson and Tucson.
And we beat them twice last year, didn't we?
Yes, we did.
That's what I thought.
The year before that, we got flattened.
Well, we went 1-1 against them.
Did we? But I think the one loss was ugly, was it not?
Yeah, the one loss was ugly. We lost twice to UC Santa Barbara over there, and we went 1-1 against Arizona.
Okay. But one thing that's kind of hard to believe, I'm pretty sure that Arizona is the only West Coast team remaining in the tournament.
That sounds right.
Yeah, so it's one of those weird things, you know, normally the South and the West Coast are sort of like the dominant figures in the NCAA tournament in terms of baseball, but this year it's a bit different, which is kind of interesting. But yeah, let's go ahead and get into their team. This is a team that is 42-21 on the year, finished 15-14 in the Pac-12. They have some solid series wins over Rice, UCLA, won midweek games over Cal State Fullerton and St. Mary's, who also made it to the NCAA tournament, and they split a series, a midweek series with Arizona State. They played Arizona State five times. They went, what was it, I believe, 2-3 against them.
They play them every year in something like, similar to what the Bulldogs played in the Dodger Classic. They play every year in what's called like the Diamondback Classic or something like that. And that's one of the reasons why they played them as often as they did. It's kind of like the Governor's Cup for State and Ole Miss.
Okay. And they also have series losses to Washington. They got swept by Utah, lost to USC, Oregon, and lost to the Arizona Diamondbacks. So, obviously, this is a team, just looking at their schedule, that can pull off wins over really solid opponents, but at the same time can be pretty vulnerable against those quality teams.
Yeah. They're a good team. They're not a team to be taken lightly by any stretch of the imagination. And I think it's a team that State should win. This team, I mean, State is the better team. If you go up and down and look at the roster, I mean, State is the better team, but that doesn't always mean that the better team wins. I mean, go back to 2013 when we were taking on the sixth seed at their team. I mean, Virginia, for all intents and purposes, was the better team, but State was playing the best at the time, and they pulled out the victory.
Right. Looking at their stats, we'll start with hitting. They don't seem like, just looking at stats, obviously I haven't seen this team play, but just looking at stats, they're not a fantastic hitting team.
They're a solid hitting team. What I have gathered from looking at the stats, they get on base pretty well. They hit the ball. I mean, they've got a solid It's in the T9, if I remember correctly, T94, something like that. But they are very active on the base pass. So they saw 73 bases on the year. They've attempted 102. Compared to Mississippi State, who has stolen 53 on 61 attempts. So, I mean, they've attempted 40 more steals than State. If they get on base quite a bit this series, just expect the game to get a lot longer because
pickoff moves.
State Coven has gotten big into constant pickoffs. I'm not sure if that's a Wes Johnson thing or what, but I mean, they make lots of throws over to first base. So if they get on base a lot, these games are going to drag out big time.
Whoa. Pickoff moves.
Yeah.
You don't realize how hard it is to watch just pickoff moves constantly. It's miserable.
It really isn't, especially when it's going to be as hot as it is. You're going to be at the game.
I'll be there.
Yeah, it's going to be that's going to be tough to watch. So hopefully that they won't get a whole lot of folks on base.
Mm-hmm. But they have a 290. You mentioned it was a 291 team average.
Okay.
They averaged 6 runs per game. So once again, not a fantastic hitting team, but still a team that can get on base. And you mentioned once they get on base, they like to be pretty aggressive when on the white hard things that are stuck on the ground. Pitching, according to the stats, seem to be their strength. They have a 3.48 team ERA. The opposing teams are hitting an average of .238 against them. Their ace is a guy by the name of Nathan Bannister is his name. He has a 2.63 ERA, 11-2 record in 17 starts. Has pitched over 126 innings over the course of the season as a strikeout to walk ratio of 93-28. And this is the same guy that in this past regional, over the course of 3 days, threw over 190 pitches.
Yeah, so I can't imagine. I mean, I could be totally wrong, but I can't imagine that they're going to throw him on Friday. I would imagine if Arizona loses on Friday, we'll see him on Saturday, and possibly if Arizona win on Friday, they may hold him off and try not to use him until Sunday, if at all possible. And you know, maybe even they would probably even like to go for the sweep, not have to use him at all, just because he has worked so much. But I can't fathom seeing him pitch on Friday. That would just be
straight up abuse.
It really would. I mean, he went from Friday to Monday with 2 days rest, throwing twice, 198 pitches. Then if he were to go again on this Friday, that's 3 days rest. I mean, there's no way he could possibly be effective for any amount of time. He might be able to go on adrenaline for an inning or two, but after that, the Bulldogs would start lighting him up.
I mean,
his arm would eventually fall off.
And if include that with the temperature. I mean, it's going to be 5 p.m., so we'll be playing into the evening, but that's still a good 2.5 to 3 hours worth of sunlight. Even in the nighttime, it'll be humid. I forgot who tweeted it, but someone said that there would be a heat index over the course of the weekend over 100, as high as 110.
Yeah, I saw that too. I'm not sure who's for that, but I saw that too. That's just not fun.
I mean, so the fact, I mean, once again, you mentioned he pitched into Monday, pitched on Friday and then pitched into Monday, which obviously was the day in which they played two games. So once again, fortunate for us on that scenario, but more than likely he won't pitch on Friday and we'll see J.C. Cloney, who is their number two guy. He has a 2.86 ERA with a 6-4 record over the course of 16 starts. Has pitched 94 1/3 as a strikeout to walk ratio of 53-17. So this guy doesn't. He has a pretty solid ERA, pretty close to Nathan Bannister. Just one start less than Bannister does. Has a worse record, but still for the most part seems like a pretty solid pitcher.
Yeah, he does. The one thing, though, that you might have to like, though, if you're a Bulldog fan, he got hit hard by Lafayette in the regional. In the one loss that they took, he's the one who took it. Gave up 6 earned, 7 total. in that game. So he's not coming off of a good start. So maybe if you're a State fan, you're kind of hoping that he's lost a little bit of confidence, especially against a good lineup. Because Lafayette's got a really good lineup as well. I don't think it's as good as State's was this year, but they've got some solid bats in that lineup, and he didn't do so well in his most recent outing against a quality lineup that he was going up against.
More like a very quality lineup, am I right?
Yeah, I forgot about your hashtag.
Hashtag very quality. You're going to have to do the honors at the end of the show where I say hashtag, and then you're going to have to say, because Ethan started this, hashtag not a douchebag on Twitter, and then I have to say very quality. Joel, no, our co-host on Tuesday, Joel Coleman, has, I don't think he's ever listened to the show. So he doesn't know that, so I kind of had to go past that, but you're going to have to fill that in for me, okay?
I can do that.
Beautiful. Make sure your kids aren't around. If so, put like earphones on them.
They're asleep. I got them in bed. They're good.
They're asleep. Beautiful. All right, but beyond that, they don't seem like they have a definite third starting pitcher. The rest of them just has made a bunch of appearances and not many starts. After these 16 starts that J.C. Cloney made, the most starts for another pitcher is half that in Cameron Ming, who has 8 starts and 24 appearances. So from what I can tell, I could be completely wrong, but just looking at the stats, it seems like this is a bullpen team and not much of a starting pitching team.
I think it's pretty similar to actually the position that State is in, at least for the first half of the SEC season, in which they had their two guys that they were relied on, Bannister and Cloney, but that third guy, they just were constantly trying to find somebody to fill that role. Maybe it was the Ming guy, I don't know. I know the guy who is their closer, he started the game that closed out the regional against Lafayette on Monday. I can't remember his name.
I assume it's Bobby Dahlbeck.
Yes.
That's and he's also their first baseman. Name.
Yeah, he's also their first baseman. But he started the game, I think he went like 6 innings. He didn't pitch great, but their lineup hit the ball really well, so he didn't have to be just perfect. But I think he ended up went like 6 innings, gave like 4 or 5 runs or something like that. He got the win, so maybe they start him as well for a game. I don't know. I'm not sure how they're going to approach that. But he's been, for the most part, their closer. He leads the team in saves. Yeah. So I'm not sure. Like I said, I would imagine it's very similar to the situation the State has been in throughout much of the year, in which they were constantly kind of trying to find their third starter, eventually settled on Pilkington. But based off of what we've seen the last 2 weeks, it makes me think that maybe Houston's taking over that role. So I don't know.
Yeah. So I guess knowing that they don't really have that third guy, I guess Bobby Dahlbeck may be the choice there. Looking at the information you were just saying, I guess it would be a bit of an advantage for State if we end up going to a game 3.
I would think so. Well, it just depends. I mean, because I was kind of, when I told you before when I started recording, I was writing what's basically going to be the preview for our site on the Super Regional. Mm-hmm. I really think the Bulldogs are going to win this game, this series in 2. I really tend to believe that. But where it could fall apart is if for some reason the Bulldogs lost on Friday. Because if they lose on Friday, then the Wildcats know that they can save Bannister till Sunday,
give him yeah.
as much rest as possible. And then you're throwing Bannister up against either Houston or Pilkington. Houston's been great, so I think he could do fine. But that's a situation I'd rather them not be in. I think they would be fine. I think they would still win. I still think Bannister would feel some effects of that. But I'd feel much better if this thing were wrapped up in 2.
Oh, well, I think everyone would.
Yeah, I mean, they just losing. I guess let me rephrase that. Losing on Friday would worry me a lot more than losing on Saturday. Because if they lose on Friday, Bannister probably still pitches on Saturday, and he's gone. So
I'll counter you with this. Do you think if Bannister does pitch on Saturday and Sunday, the sort of the change in sync of the lineup of the pitching rotation, do you think that could affect him at all?
If I'm understanding the question correctly, I think it would affect him. I think if the Bulldogs win on Friday, but they lose on Saturday because they throw Bannister out there and he gives them just enough, I think the Bulldogs will probably easily win on Sunday because then you get in that situation where they don't really have a third guy. And I think between Houston and Pilkington, if one of them would be good enough to counter their guys, so I think we'd be much better off. Losing Friday would worry me a lot more than losing on Saturday would. I think that they can win this thing in two, but if they're going to lose a game, I'd rather it be on Saturday than on Sunday.
Ethan says hi.
Oh, well, hi, Ethan.
He probably doesn't listen. He's out in the desert somewhere. Like he said before we were paired up with Arizona that Arizona seems cool. I'm like, what? if we lose the Super Regional, I'm firing Ethan from the podcast, which means since he's the manager, he'd probably just fire me.
Oh, that's true. I guess so.
It would just be, you know, but yeah. So, and it's going to be an interesting weekend. Obviously, we can just assume that Arizona seems like a very solid club. Any team, any program in the West Coast that has the history that Arizona does is obviously going to have talent on their roster. So it'll be very interesting this weekend. Is there anything you would like to add about this team? Or just thoughts on the weekend in general?
I think the thing to watch will just be one thing that I mentioned to you. I think that really helps state this. Arizona does not strike out a ton of hitters. If you look at their stats, it's like I think they have like a 6 or 7 strikeout per 9-inning pitch per nine inning pitch, where State's almost getting about 1 per inning. And so they like to pitch to contact. They like to have their fielders get plenty of work. I mean, so they like to put the ball. They like to have the opposing hitters put the ball in play. They rely on that quite a bit. And I think that's going to end up being what does them in. If State's got pitches to hit, they're going to hit them. Mm-hmm. And I think that's where State really has a huge advantage. I think back to the 2014 regional against UL Louisiana Lafayette. You know, we had a pretty solid pitching staff, and I thought that we would be okay, but our pitching staff, with the exception of Lindgren, they were the types that pitched contact. They didn't strike out a ton of folks, and pitching to contact against that team killed the Bulldogs in those two games. I mean, we just didn't stand a chance against them. I think you're going to see a lot of that in this one. Their pitchers are going to make the balls hittable, and I think that's where the Bulldog offense is going to just really come to play.
All right, so prediction time, I guess. You can go first since you're the guest of honor.
No, well, I think it's pretty obvious. I think they win in two, and I think they can win in three. Like I said earlier, if they lose on Friday, I'll be a little bit more worried about it than if they lose on Saturday. Like I said, just because, I mean, I could be totally wrong. And Arizona may just go ahead and throw Bannister out there on Friday. If they do that, they need to fire their first-year manager right now. But losing on Friday would worry me a lot more than losing on Saturday. But I really think – I mean, this team – I mean, Mississippi State, I know a lot of people are worried because we're Bulldog fans. We worry about everything. like I said, I think that the Bulldogs can win this thing in two, and I think they probably will. But you never know. I mean, Arizona's probably feeling pretty confident after winning – 4 out of 5 games in Louisiana, so that their confidence is probably pretty high, but they're also probably pretty tired. I mean, they had to play a lot to get to this point, and I think they're just going to be completely worn down, and I think the Bulldogs will be able to take advantage of it, win the game in two. They might go to three, but I still think the Bulldogs win.
I'll say State in two as well, and this is something that I don't think I've predicted Mississippi State to actually win a series since since Arkansas. Or I mean, before Arkansas, I said that we were going to take series from Missouri. I don't remember. I haven't predicted us to sweep a team, I don't think, at all this season.
Oh, wow. So, and then they finished up with 3.
Yeah. So here I am. If we lose, stab me with a pitchfork or something. Bring tridents to my house. I don't know. I hope the trident is the gum. Ooh, hey now. Like, you know, the gum brand.
Oh, yes, I see now.
I was hilarious. That was a good one. Yeah, I say Staten too. If you go to the Arizona website, there's something in the top right corner. I mentioned this to Joel, but I'm actually looking at it now. Called Greg Burns Wildcat Wednesday. It has a picture of Greg Burns smiling, and it's just a blog post.
Okay. I guess it's probably like our Wednesday update that we do every Wednesday.
I wonder who started that.
I would be willing to bet he did.
Oh, Strickland. But our problem is we don't have nice alliteration. You know, they have Wildcat Wednesday. That's catchy.
Yeah.
Why not make it?
It doesn't sound just real. I can't figure out any way they could make that.
Let's make it nice. Strickland Sunday.
Sure, that could work.
Yeah.
Then nobody reads the internet on Sunday, so for the most part.
Well, maybe Scott Strickland will be a rule breaker.
Well, that's true. He could be a trendsetter. How about that?
Oh yeah, because Ross Bjork's a rule breaker. Hey now, I gotta get that shot in. So yeah, that's pretty much it for the super regional, and we have questions. Questions. My internet is, the spinning beach ball of death is on my Twitter right now.
Oh fun.
Yeah, I was pulling up the questions, and the stupid Twitter app is no longer responding, so I'm gonna have to shut it down and restart it. Woo. Can you tell a joke while... do you have a joke in your head?
Do I have a joke in my head? I have no jokes in my head.
Oh, that's fine. I got some questions up.
Oh, good.
Yay. All right. So question number one is from @Dogomatic, the Dogomatic on Twitter. His profile picture is Anthony Michael Hall in The Breakfast Club. What is the secret for MSU to be such a well-respected flagship university with outstanding athletics and academics?
Well, technically we can't be a flagship because being a flagship requires you being first. And we weren't the first university in the state, so...
And our university is not a ship.
That is true. It is not a ship.
Neither is the one that normally has that phrase.
But to answer the rest of his question, I'm assuming this is something that is Egg Bowl Twitter related or something like that.
I'd assume. Hashtag Egg Bowl Twitter.
There's really not anything we can do to be better than Ole Miss in terms of academics because we are required by the state... The IHL, whatever that thing is called, to have the exact same academic standards to enter all freshmen. So we can't really have. I mean, we're going to be pretty much the same regardless throughout the course. No matter how many people say, you know, oh, Mississippi State, they're the dumb farmers, or Ole Miss, or state fans say, Ole Miss, they're just a bunch of horrible lawyers up there. We got the same academic standards to get in, so and it will forever be that way. And that's just kind of the way that it is. No matter how much people want to say one's dumber than the other, it takes the exact same thing to get into one university over the other. So,
Justin's a teacher, so he knows about this stuff.
I am a teacher.
Congratulations.
And I'm teaching no one right now. That's kind of fun.
Yeah. But congratulations on summer.
Yeah, summer's wonderful.
Yeah, I agree. Corbin, our friend Corbin at CorbinGW14, he has, I think he meant to ask multiple questions because he has a one in front of it, but he never asked another question. But okay, number one. If State pulls out two wins this weekend, do y'all think we have a good chance in winning it all?
I say yeah. I mean,
I can't say that because that's just hard to say in any sport.
Let me just say it this way. I'm not going to say that we're the favorite or anything like that, but I'd say we have as good a chance as anybody else is going to get there. I mean, our offense is as good as anybody's outside of probably Texas A&M's.
Mm-hmm.
Pitching staff isn't as good as probably as some of the other teams that would be there, but I mean, the offense typically has been really good all year about, even if the pitching staff doesn't have its best day, they typically make up for it. I mean, look what they did against
SEMO.
Yeah, SEMO last week when Hudson gave one of his worst performances, mm-hmm. And they stepped up big time. So, I mean, like I said, they have as good a chance as anybody else that would make it there. Currently, I think there's 7 of the 8 original national seeds. I would imagine some lose. I mean, technically, I guess it could be us. But I think we got one of the better matchups going into it. I think we match up really well with the Wildcats. I would imagine there's probably going to be at least 1 or 2 more of the national seeds that lose. It really just comes down to who you match up with. I mean, who ends up winning, how they match up with you. I mean, I think Texas A&M was a bad matchup for the Bulldogs, but we wouldn't play them again until
the championship series.
The championship, and if we both get there, then you know I don't think we'd do as bad as we did. At Super Bowl Dog Weekend, I think I think we could rebound to beat those guys. We saw that what they did to Florida in the championship game, and they got swept by Florida. So,
yeah,
I'm not going to say that we'd be the favorites, but I'd say I'll just say I like our chances. If we can get past this weekend, I like our chances.
I mean, the thing is, we would more than likely have to. I mean, we would just be right out of the gate with the. I mean, we'd probably play Miami in our first game. Which is no easy task.
Here's one thing. This is, you know, the whole thanks Rebels, the thing that went over so well. This would be a really sarcastic thanks Rebels. You could have helped us out and gotten rid of Miami. That would have been really great. But no, you sent BC, Boston College, down to take care of Miami. That's not going to happen. So,
I mean,
appreciate that, guys.
Can Doug Flutie pitch?
He could throw a ball really far. It was a football, so... maybe let's find out.
Yes, Doug Flutie for starting pitcher. He would give up a home run because he's like 52. Lewis has questions, so there's a run for you, Lewis. You have the first questions, so that means he has a 13-11 lead. That's his first 2-run lead.
Oh wow!
Yeah, pretty incredible. Okay, he has questions. Number one, best Netflix original series.
I haven't watched a ton of best original series. I mean, I watched lots of on Netflix. Uh-huh. I've been wanting to watch House of Cards.
Yeah, I think that's the answer.
Have you seen it?
No, but all I know is that it's fantastic and it's been nominated for a bunch of Emmys.
Yeah, I need to start watching. I've started running on a treadmill again. I asked Bob Karskadden wants some recommendations. He recommended Bloodlines. I haven't watched it yet.
I listened to that.
I'll have to get back to you on that, Lewis. I'll start watching, try to watch both House of Cards and Bloodlines and let him know what I think.
I mean, Kevin.
I heard House of Cards is. I love Kevin Spacey.
Yes.
Kevin Spacey is awesome. He hasn't done a whole lot of really good stuff here recently, but the things that he did back in the late 90s, early part of the century. He's Kaiser Soze.
Yeah. I mean, so. He's my second favorite actor.
Oh, good. You have good choice in actors. And who's your first favorite?
Bryan Cranston.
Bryan Cranston. I know the name.
Walter White.
Oh, okay.
Hal from Malcolm in the Middle.
Yeah, okay. Okay. You're talking about Breaking Bad.
Yes. And
I've not seen Breaking Bad.
It's terrific.
You should. Yeah, I don't watch as much TV as I used to. I'm just hoping to fix that while I'm running, so we'll see.
There we go. Next up, most underrated player on the baseball team. I know this answer.
Well, then go ahead.
Nathaniel Lowe.
Yeah, I would agree with that. I think that's... I mean, everybody talks about Mangum, and rightfully so. But without the production of Nathaniel Lowe, I don't know that the Bulldogs get where they are.
Mm-hmm. I mean, Mangum and Hudson are probably the two most, probably the two favorite. And Sexton is starting to climb up there. They're probably the big three in terms of popularity.
Right.
But Nate Lowe has contributed almost, if not as much. If you compare Mangum and Lowe at the plate, Mangum definitely has more consistency, but Lowe makes up that consistency with power. So I saw that Lowe was named a second team All-American, either second or third team All-American, maybe third team by some publication. So there's just a bit of a national credits for Nathaniel Lowe, who will probably be drafted this year because he's a junior.
Yeah, I think he's gone.
Mm-hmm. Percentage chance of state going to Omaha. Golly.
I don't know. I would say 75%.
I'll go 65.
That sounds about somewhere, I think. Yeah, average.
Can we just say 70 as a default?
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. Yeah, I guess so. I don't really know how you give a percentage chance on these things, but 70 sounds about right. Sure, why not?
Okay. If state goes to Omaha, will y'all be there?
Oh, gosh, I wish. But no, one, I have I drive a bus for a special needs ministry to our church every week. So I can't really just kind of bail out on them for that. So I'll definitely have to do that, but I'll be there in spirit if that counts.
Yeah, there would be a possibility. I wouldn't be able to make a guaranteed answer, but there would be a possibility. I missed in 2013. Because I had to do summer school.
Well, you gotta get your act together, Daniel. Come on.
Well,
now.
I'm sorry that I'm not great at English. I don't like to read.
You're not great at English, but you're a blogger?
It's interesting. That class was a literature course. And okay. If there is one thing I almost hate as much as Ole Miss, it's being forced to read something.
Yeah, I hate forced reading things, too. That's never fun.
Yeah. This year's MLB draft, hashtag MLB draft, really scares me. How many players will we lose?
Well, I actually wrote something about that and published it earlier today.
Wow. Then you know more than we do.
Trying to think.
At least two.
We're definitely going to lose Hudson. I mean, that's a definite. I mean, he's going to be a millionaire this time next year.
Yes.
He's gone.
We mentioned Nate Lowe.
He's the 100% lock. And then when I wrote this, I've also put Reed Humphreys and Nathaniel Lowe as people who I thought would in all likelihood be gone. I don't really see that. I mean, I think they'll be drafted to, you know, top five rounds. Todd Littell, who's at Todd for State on Twitter, he sent me a note saying that Jacob Robson. I put Jacob Robson as kind of a coin flip because I really wasn't sure.
Yeah.
But he said Jacob Robson and Daniel Brown were listed as like the top 200 prospects by MLB.com.
Oh, wow.
So my guess is they're gone. I put Daniel Brown as like I thought he would come back, but if that's the case, they're both gone as well.
So that's like four or five. Just
yeah,
right.
That's five or right
yeah.
There.
So okay.
Now you're looking at Zach Houston. He has done a lot for himself.
Yeah, but
he's a coin flip. He could go ahead and go. He's going to get drafted, and I think he's probably anywhere from rounds 11 through 20, somewhere in there. And it becomes a matter of does he go ahead and go now and try to cash in, or does he come back and really propel his stock up and try to cash in big time a year later? So I think he's one we're going to have to look at as being like a coin flip. Trying to think of some of the people I put on there. Brent Rooker is draft eligible. He's a sophomore, but he did redshirt for a year, so he is draft eligible. I put him as a coin flip.
I don't think he would leave, though. That's just me.
See, I think he's played so well down the stretch. I think that's going to play big time.
But if he's, I mean, he's only a sophomore. I'd assume that he would probably want to come back for an extra year and continue and just improve in that regard.
Yeah, I would think so, but you never know. I mean, once you get that opportunity to go ahead and start making money, I mean, that's a hard thing to turn down. So, like, that's the reason I put him as a coin flip.
Mm-hmm. I get it. Coin. Money.
I wouldn't even think like that. But, yes, you are correct.
Yeah.
I'm trying to think. Who are some other ones that are probably going to get drafted? Kind of going around. I don't remember who I put down. Okay.
You've listed.
Okay, Collins, third base. Again, coin flip. I think more of him is what position is he going to play?
Yeah.
So I don't think he's done enough on the field to prove that he can play third base at the next level. Catching, he seems to stay injured. So that's going to be – I think he's got the bat and the power to, like, drool. But they just don't know – I don't know if they're going to know where to put him. So we'll have to kind of wait and see on him. Those were the only really coin
so
flip guys.
So you list about eight people.
Yeah. And I still got some more.
Oh!
I think Austin Sexton gets drafted, but I think he comes back. I don't think he's going to be. I mean, if you went on production alone, he should be drafted, but I mean, his stuff is not anything like Dakota Hudson's. I mean, he's upper 80s, maybe 90 occasionally. If he goes and comes back for another year under Wes Johnson, gets his velocity up a couple miles per hour, he could be a really high draft pick. So I think he comes back. I think the same thing for Jack Kruger. I think his midseason slump, I think he's going to put some questions in people's mind. But I think those two will be back. I think they get drafted, but I think they'll come back.
Okay, there we go. So maybe like four or five in terms of how many players will we lose this year?
I think the four or five definite. We could end up losing a few more.
Okay. Next up, I love this. You're getting a run for this question. It's now 14-11. Why is the show so much better without Ethan?
Well, you'll have to answer that one.
Because Ethan's not here, obviously, because he's a loser. He's a loser.
Are you putting the L on your head?
Oh, I have to. He's a loser. Yes. Justin, why did you not enjoy being included in our Q&A last night? That was...
It was sarcasm. I mean,
it's hard to detect sarcasm through tweet.
But good sarcasm should not require any type of like special marks.
Like sarcastrics?
Yes, exactly.
There we go. Next up, the final question from Lewis. Do you both feel bad by teaming up with the competition on the podcast?
It takes a lot for me to feel bad about something. This isn't one of them.
Yeah. Okay, so how many questions did he ask? It's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. So let's see how many questions Mr. V asked. 9. Run. He asked 10. Wow. It's 14 to 12 now. He has a fancy graphic. 14 to 13. He gets 2 runs for that. He also has a picture of you on the bottom left.
I just saw that.
So does that...
Like my little graphic. How nice.
Why didn't he include the old people in the back?
I know, because they look like that have, like, just pissed in their Cheerios or something.
That was the best picture I've ever... I watched that, and I'm thinking, dude, there are two old people intently listening to what you were saying. They were there for a good 5 minutes.
They were. What's funny is, I mean, I can see it on monitor, but it's kind of tiny, so I didn't even realize they were back there. Uh-huh. Just sitting there, just going along, and then I look at it in the replay, like, oh, they don't look like... They're real happy that I'm there.
And then there was one person at the very beginning who was bringing in bags on one of those carts, and she saw you started running off, so she could, I guess she thought you were taking a picture. But yeah, questions. Number one, we've answered this question. Will State win 2 or 3 games?
No, like I said, I think 2. I mean, it could go 3, but I think they're going to win 2.
Number two, how many players from this year's baseball team won't be back next year?
Well, we said, 4 or 5 or something like that?
Yeah. That's a good answer. Number three, my job keeps me from getting questions in on time. Should I quit and become a freelance question asker?
Well, if you want to, like, eat and pay your mortgage and stuff, I would probably say no. But, you know, to each his own.
No. We appreciate your questions, but no. Number four, Justin, how many kids and what ages?
I have 2 kids. I have a son who is 9, and I have a daughter who will be turning 4 at the end of this month.
Happy early birthday.
Well, thank you.
And also, how was the trick shot thing?
I mean, I actually didn't end up making it do it. Wife got sick, and I didn't want to leave her at home with a 3, nearly 4-year-old daughter by herself while she's throwing up. So.
But you'll be going to the tournament?
Yes, we're going Friday and Sunday.
Say hi to Phil for me. He's my favorite. He and Jordan are my favorites. Number 5, Justin, favorite burger in Starkville? This is a question he asked us, and I've given my answer. So, you go ahead.
Oh, gosh. It is not McDonald's, I can tell you that much.
Yeah.
I mean, Mugshots is probably the best one that I've had.
Uh-huh. Yeah, the McDonald from Mugshots. The McDonald. Not apostrophe S. Number 6. Justin, is it okay if we follow you in a cult-like fashion like we do Daniel and Ethan? Oh, God.
Do what now?
Is it okay if we follow you, Justin Strawn, in a cult-like fashion like we do Daniel and Ethan?
Well, sure. I mean,
we are like the Beatles of not listen to podcasts.
Oh, really? Okay. Sure. They can. I mean, you can send any money donations to my PayPal account. I can send that to them if they need
we
to.
We haven't been given donations.
Oh, okay.
What is this you're saying now? We can receive money?
I mean, if you're a cult, don't you like rip people off and take their money and stuff? And that kind
well,
of
we all, well, I mean, also, some things about cults is they can take them out to somewhere in Africa and make them all die of drinking Kool-Aid.
Well, this is true.
Yeah, we're not going to do that. Oh, number 7. Was it Africa? Or was it just South America?
I think it's South America.
South America, okay. Number 7. He's not saying Justin, so I don't know if he's asking both of us, but because I can't answer this because there's a competition going on. But who do you think is at M State Cast's number one fan? I can't answer this.
I don't know.
You could say yourself.
I think they have to finish out their little competition before they figure this out.
Yes, so it's 14-13 in favor of Lewis. And actually, I'll give another run to Mr. V because there's a picture of you on there, which is nice. 14-14. I believe this is the bottom of the fifth. Number 8. What is the one key, DJ Khaled, to State winning this weekend and going forward?
The one key.
The one key. Sounds like a Nick Cage movie.
Oh gosh, a bad one at that. Let's
the
see.
Declaration of Independence.
The one key. I would say just limiting base runners for Arizona, just because they are so active on the base pass.
Mm-hmm.
So I'll say that.
I think it's just scoring runs.
Yeah.
Because I mean,
honestly, that's the key to every game: score more runs than the other team.
Hey, that's a you need to become. We need to become coaches. We'd be out the door in 2 years. Number 9, Cleveland or Golden State tonight?
Tonight, I'll give it to Cleveland.
I think the game's going on.
It is. It's going on right now.
Well, we're not going to cheat.
Oh, why not?
Oh, well, let's look at the scores. My phone's on the other side of the room.
Hold on. What's the score? Let's see. I'm sure it's being tweeted about constantly. Just had to find it.
According to Cleveland is winning, I think, at halftime.
That doesn't surprise me. I would expect them to win tonight, but I think this is the only game they win.
Yeah, I'll say yeah. I agree. I agree with that. I actually do agree with that. So that's it, because his last question was Cleveland or Golden State series, and that's pretty much already been decided, unless Cleveland pulls like a Red Sox over Yankees in the ALCS in whatever year that was.
Yeah, well, that was 2004, wasn't it?
Let's go with that. But yeah, I think, yeah, that's...
That's right, you were like 5 then or something like that, weren't you?
Some along those lines.
Okay. Yeah.
But I know of it, which is better than nothing. But yeah, so after 5 innings, it's 14-14. We're in a deadlock.
High-scoring affair.
It is a high-scoring affair, and that's a good thing, because that means they're doing things that helps our podcast grow. So they're loyal. Double runs for that. It's 15-15.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so going to the 6th inning, it's 15-15. That's going to be it, because we don't have any more questions. I usually say this to Ethan, so Justin, do you have any final thoughts?
Final thoughts? No, I think it'll be fun. We can be hot. Just make sure that you have lots of water with you if you're going to the game, because it's not going to be pleasant in all likelihood, so make sure you stay hydrated.
Yes. Don't die.
Yeah, that'd be bad.
At the 07 Super Regional, I'm pretty sure, I think I remember seeing someone on a stretcher due to heat stroke.
Yeah, that wouldn't surprise me.
Yeah. But yeah, Steve Robertson just retweeted something fun. From the Arizona baseball account, they tweeted a picture of Greg Burns' autographed picture at the Little Dewey.
Oh, really?
Yes. They say... Team meal tonight, great food, and big-time celebrities on the wall. Sure. All right, so that'll do it for this episode of the podcast. Justin Strawn, thank you so much for taking time out of your very much busy day of non-teaching and bus driving to be on the show.
No problem.
It was very enjoyable, and we hope to do this again.
No problem. I enjoyed it.
Yes. So on Tuesday, Ethan still won't be back. I mean, he'll be wherever he is. I'll be with someone else. That sounds like a relationship, right? Yeah, we'll talk about the Super Regional and hopefully Omaha.
Hopefully.
Fingers crossed. I don't know if you just heard that, but I knocked on wood. So, until then, thank you all for listening. Here we go, Justin. Remember to be hashtag...
Very quality.
Yes. Goodbye.